Welcome back to the Roundtable. James Reston Jr. took leave from teaching during the summer of 1973 to witness the Senate Watergate Committee hearings as he worked with his co-author on what became the first full-length book to advocate for Richard Nixon's impeachment. During the following summer, he returned to D.C. to witness the final act of the impeachment drama, attending the Watergate trials, Supreme Court deliberations over executive privilege, and House Judiciary Committee hearings to consider and eventually vote on articles of impeachment. When he arrived in Washington, he decided to keep a diary. His new book, The Impeachment Diary, is his contemporaneous account of those heady, uncertain times when a president, having been investigated by a special counsel in Congress, was called to account for acts contrary to his oath and office, and fundamental questions about the Constitution were engaged. Again, the name of the new book is The Impeachment Diary, Eyewitness to the Removal of a President. James Reston Jr. is the author. We just had some technical difficulty in getting him on the telephone line. The phone dropped, so we are trying to get him back on the line, and I believe he is there. James Reston Jr., thank you very much for being with us.
Greetings. Good morning.
Great pleasure. You missed my introduction, but I assume you know it by now, so welcome.
Thank you so much.
You know all the things you accomplished.
I'm trying to think now, trying to remember.
What is it about this time? I mean, I think it's obvious, but to think, oh, this may be helpful to put out this diary, the impeachment diary of your eyewitness, being an eyewitness to what was happening in D.C. in the early 1970s.
Well, this is a bit of serendipity. When James Comey was fired, whenever that was, a year and a half ago, the talk of impeachment really started. And it, of course, is built to this crescendo that we're now experiencing. And I thought there, after the Comey thing, didn't I write something about all of this? And I did fish through my papers, and this diary dropped out. And because it is a contemporaneous account of the process that went forward with Richard Nixon, I was just astonished at what I thought were the relevances of that experience to the current one. The Nixon process in 1974 is the only true reference point for the experience that we're now having in America. How would the House of Representatives vote as a full body to have an impeachment inquiry? How would the Judiciary Committee conduct its investigation in private or in public? Once the debate started in the House Judiciary Committee on actual articles of impeachment, how were those articles composed and how were they debated? Was it sober or was it a grandstanding kind of thing? So the lessons of the one experience in American history, the Nixon experience, is the one that we really need to focus on as being pertinent to the current situation.
There certainly are differences, and I think that there are many. However, as you say, there's certainly also information that can be put into the equation here for our understanding. When you look at where we are right now, especially when it comes to the reluctance on the GOP to look at this and to take this seriously, and you see what we saw earlier this week, testimony that seems to prove that there was a quid pro quo and a bit of a smoking gun, and yet there are still members of the Republican committees who say, well, there's nothing there. Is that similar?
Absolutely similar. There was no Republicans were standing up at the beginning of the Nixon process in June of 1974 and said, I can't wait to vote for impeachment. They said nothing. And, of course, I think it was respected as well in the Senate, as indeed it's being respected now, that if it gets to a Senate trial, that the senators are actually jurors. So that gives a bit of cover any Republican who might privately be inclined to be deeply troubled by this sort of thing, that to say, well, I can't say anything in public now, certainly not that I would vote for his removal, because I need to sit in judgment of him and make a fair determination. So I don't pay much attention, frankly, to the Republican thoughts about all of this that are in public. There's a lot of grandstanding that's going on. But when it actually gets to the public hearing of actual articles of impeachment, and when we see the Judiciary Committee gathering to debate the evidence and then to vote on actual articles, I think we're going to see a much more sober attitude towards this and a much more degree of open-mindedness from Republicans.
You have, as I said, you witnessed the Nixon, the lead up to his leaving office, and I'm curious as to one of the things that we also hear about is the time frame, is that from the time that the call took place to the time that we learned of the call and the whistleblower came forward, and to the time that an impeachment inquiry was announced, this story seems to have moved very, very quickly. And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about timing, because one of the things that I keep hearing is that of how long after Watergate the what led up to the articles of impeachment for Richard Nixon was a very long process. And I'm curious as to that connection.
Well, there were the impeachment inquiry was voted by the House formally in February of 1974. And the proceedings did not really go public until June, so that there was a period of about 4 months of investigation in executive session. So that would be the reference point for the current proceedings of interviewing these witnesses in secret. I think that's an extremely important thing, because there is so much grandstanding that's going on in public and on television and radio about this. But when it gets down to a formal charge that could potentially in the end result in the removal of a president, which of course we've never had the full process gone through in American history, I think you will see a level of sobriety and solemnity, including on the Republican side, that we haven't seen at present.
What was your level? In reading the diary, it seems that you had a level of frustration that was happening, of what was unfolding, of information that seemed to make it through and information that didn't make it through, and why some things were bigger deals than other. And I guess that's part of the process?
Yes. Well, of course, I never thought when I was writing this in my little garret in Capitol Hill in 1974 that this would ever be published. I, as I say in the introduction or preface to the diary, I was, I knew I was witnessing a historical process and a historical moment, and I wanted to be able to remember it. So a diary is not meant to be written. Good diaries are not meant to be written to be published. So yes, it had all of my frustrations and my passions in it, and that's what makes a good diary. So we're having some of the same sort of thing. I've been arguing as strongly as I know how that if we are actually going to have what the founders called the grand inquest of the nation, that's what impeachment was called, that it can't be focused on just one episode, and that's the presidential call, that we really must have a broad-based, all-encompassing grand inquest, where the charges that coming out of the Ukraine scandal form only one article of impeachment. But what happened in the Mueller report, what happened with hush money, and a long list of other things, in my view, has to be reduced to impeachment articles as well, so that you have baskets of charges, as you did with Nixon. You had the obstruction of justice, you had abuse of power, you had defiance of subpoenas, and now you've got this Ukraine scandal. So there are four categories that the people in the House Judiciary Committee have a rather daunting literary task, if I may say, of reducing all of that astonishing evidence to articles of impeachment.
Do you need all of it, or should it be more focused?
I think we need all of it. That's my position on this, because if you go back to the Judiciary Committee report on Nixon, of course he wasn't impeached. It was only recommended from the House Judiciary Committee to the House of Representatives, but it stopped there by his resignation. And so what history has for that proceeding is simply the final report of the House Judiciary Committee on the articles of impeachment and the evidence that backed those up. That is extremely important for the historical memory. And if God forbid, Donald Trump were thrown out of office for just one episode, then I think the extraordinary, singular, unique act of removing a president would be highly criticized by history later.
You write early in the diary that what did you say, I'm weary of this phrase, what did the president know and when did he know it? And now it seems that where is the quid pro quo is what the president keeps saying, what other people keep saying. And so we should be weary of that too, right?
Yes, well, I've been saying that the Ukraine scandal should really be a fourth basket of charges against Donald Trump, and it relates to the oath of office and the question of whether he violated his constitutional oath the best of his ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and to take care that the laws of the country be faithfully executed. That should be the fourth article that has the entire Ukraine business, not just whether it was a quid pro quo, but all of the subsequent evidence that's come up about the background of the call to the president of Ukraine. All of that needs to be reduced into one article of impeachment. Now, if the Democrats think that's the strongest thing they've got going for them, okay, well, I would, if I were a strategist, I would say, well, okay, vote on that first. And if it passes the House of Representatives first and the others may pass or may not, then move that on to the Senate and have the Senate vote on that article first. And if he is convicted of that one article, that is sufficient to remove Donald Trump from office. You only need the conviction on one article for removal.
In Frost Nixon, the movie and the play, you are portrayed as a character who is fighting very hard to give the president of the United States, to give him the trial that he never had. To go and so that was a frustration that you had then, that he never went before and was never really called to question for his actions.
Correct.
Do you see that happening here and a scenario where that plays out very similarly to what happened to Richard Nixon?
There is a mild similarity there. And if I were a betting man, knowing what we now know, I would think you would end up with impeachment passed by the House of Representatives and failing in the Senate. If that happens, and that's the probability at this moment, then what we have is the nature of the charges that are composed by the Judiciary Committee and voted upon by the House of Representatives. That's what history will remember about this process. So that's indeed the way it may turn out. You know, I am very, very focused on the similarities, but also the similarities in the process. And I'd be much happier if all the charges were very well composed: abuse of power, obstruction of justice, defiance of subpoenas, along with the Ukraine thing. And if in the end it failed in the Senate, then the process would have been gone through, and we would have had conceivably a six-week trial in the Senate of the United States. In a way, the trial itself is what will be remembered, I think, even more than the verdict, you know, because we've never had in American history an extensive trial of a president in the Senate that was really based on very, very serious charges of corruption across the board. So people have been saying, oh, well, why are we going through this if it's going to fail ultimately in the Senate? No, it's the historical process and the strength of the case that is made against Donald Trump that will last and endure regardless of whether it's passed by two-thirds of the Senate.
This is such an important book. It's The Impeachment Diary, Eyewitness to the Removal of a President. It is published by Arcade. James Reston, Jr., great honor and pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day.
Again, the name of the book is The Impeachment Diary. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.